Hello, welcome to another episode of the Game Dev Show. I'm David Voiles, a technical evangelist at Microsoft. So with this video I have coming up very shortly, I wanted to go over different ways of live streaming. That is recording yourself doing something, whether it's creating a tutorial, playing a game, whatever, and streaming it out to the internet. The reason I wanted to do this is because I got into it within the last year or so. I'm live streaming a lot of my content on Twitch and then migrating it all to YouTube so that people could watch it, what's called VOD or video on demand. So I had to invest in a little bit of hardware, some software, learn some different skills. This actually started as an idea for a friend who I play a lot of games with, and he is very, very clever, very good at playing with us. And I wanted a way for him to be able to kind of share a lot of the knowledge that he knows. So that's why I put this video together. One thing that I forgot to cover during the video or during the Twitch session was backing up your data. So you're gonna have all this content you're gonna be recording on Twitch and streaming to sending up to YouTube. You're gonna need a way to save it. I highly recommend one of these WD passports. You can get them on Amazon. It's this big. It's kind of like a fat wallet, I guess. And it has USB 3 out. So you get really, really fast speed for copying information. It was $80 for this, and it was 2 terabytes. So a lot of information you can keep on here. I have several of these around my home. I have one that I have for my Xbox One. I store all of my games on this little drive. Plug it in, Xbox just detects it, formats it correctly, and from then on, all my games go there. Now when I travel, I can take this, pop it in any other Xbox, and I have my games ready to go. For all of my data, what I'll do is, if I go to record all my content in my living room, I'll feed all the content to my laptop, and on my laptop actually save it to this, and I can then do all the editing on my desktop machine. And then finally, on my desktop machine, I back up everything. So if I have one hard drive for my content, I have another hard drive that mirrors all of that in case one of these things decides to fail. Back up your information. Space is super affordable. Again, 2 terabytes with USB 3. I can just plug this into the back of my laptop, my desktop. I'm good to go. So with that in mind, enjoy this video. I want to see you showcasing and sharing some of your work too. So if this has helped you out, like, subscribe, let me know in the comments. But if you want more of this content, let me know and I can dive a little bit deeper in some of these topics. Thanks.
Okay, so my goal of this is to turn into a tutorial for others, way of teaching people how to use Twitch, how to live stream, how to push all their stuff to YouTube. So I have one friend inside the chat right now on Twitch, so if I'm going through things too fast or questions pop up, someone who's new, he'll be able to ask these questions, but I'll probably spend about 15 minutes total going through what I do, which doesn't necessarily mean it's the best way, it just means that this is a way that I found works very well for me. So first thing I'm going to recommend here is we kind of hop over to the OBS website. So OBS is Open Broadcast Software. Turn this off. I have something called Dark Reader, which makes my screen look very dark because the white in my eyes is very blinding all day. So it kind of strains them. So OBS, Open Broadcast Software, is free, open source programming or streaming software that allows you to both record and stream your content to whatever streaming service it is you want to use. You can even have your own, right? At Microsoft, we have something called Azure, and you can have media services. You can record all this and create your own Twitch channel that way. But for today, I'm going to show you how to stream to Twitch and then also record your videos locally, edit them later on, post them to YouTube. So OBS has a whole bunch of different versions. But your best bet, again, whether you're using Linux, Mac, OS X, switch which version is most appropriate for you here. In this case, Windows. You have Classic or Studio. Classic is the original one they were using. For the most part, it's kind of encouraged people to use Studio. Most of the plugins and extensions for it seem to be going this way. Even more confusing, it'll tell you, so you can download OBS Studio or OBS Plus Browser Source. You're going to want the browser source, and I'll explain shortly. I didn't quite understand this at first. Essentially, what it'll allow you to do is it'll add WebKit, or at least that's the Chrome web browser, with OBS, so that this way you can have things like overlays on top of your screen at another time, and I'll get into that. So you download OBS, get it running inside of here, and you're good to go. Now, here's what OBS actually looks like. Actually, it turns out well over here. So ignore the mirror effect that we have going on there. what that's doing is it's the OBS software is recording my screen and just keeps going. So it's kind of tricking the GPU though. So on the bottom right, bottom left here, I have a couple different options. I've seen regular scene, scene two, and what this does allows me to create multiple scenes. So maybe I want to have a scenario for when I'm recording my old console hardware. Maybe I want a different look and appearance for when I'm recording action games like Overwatch or something like that. Maybe I want something different for just doing programming tutorials. So I can click on this and have different scenes set up, and you'll see what it does. It essentially changes the sources. So if I click on scene, I have a number of sources here. This little eye tells you whether or not something is available. So if I click on webcam, my webcam goes away, click it back, it now appears. Same thing for display capture. I can have things like browser, game, windows. So right now, display capture, I'm telling it, if I go to properties, that's getting confusing. I don't really have a simple way of doing this. I apologize. So what display capture is doing is saying, hey, you've got two monitors here, 0 and 1, and show me the resolution. And I'm telling it right now, look at my monitor, 0. It's called a zero-based array. It's a programming thing. So I just know that, okay, this higher quality monitor has, you know, this resolution. That's the one I want to be recording. So leave that as it is for now. And now what happens is I go down a bit more. On sources here, I can right-click, add, and I see I have a bunch of different things. I can add an image, so maybe I have an image that is an image of text. So sometimes I'll play and I'll have my Twitter handle and my website address right above my webcam. So this whole time I'm playing, you know where to find more of my content. I can have stuff like media source. I'm not sure what that is. Text, I can add text. Browser source, this here. Browser source is what I was talking about before when I said you want to download OBS with browser source. Because now I have browser source, I can right click, go to properties, and you see I have a bunch of things here. I have a URL, width, height, frames per second, and here's some CSS. CSS is cascading style sheets. It's not so much a language, but a styling format for the web. This allows me to do is change the way some of this looks. So it may be difficult for you to understand what's going on here, but what I want to do is grab this URL, and this is why the browser source is important, because it allows me to take this URL and essentially inject it or draw it on top of my page. So if I go to the actual URL, here's what it looks like. It looks like an image on the top with my Twitter handle. It looks like I have a little monitor here. And I have number of subscribers, top donations. I have my Twitch chat right here. So if someone says something, it should draw it here. There you go. And there's Huzz saying, ah, awesome. So now my chat is appearing right on top of my screen. And I'll show you how I do this very, very shortly too. But again, that's the value of having browser source, is I can essentially have a web page that's creating a static image and draw it on top. So go back to OBS. Now, again, inside of OBS, I have a number of options here. I can have game capture, and I might have it select. What's up? Say, okay, make it available. Properties. I can say, okay, capture this window or this game. So here are different applications that are available to me right now. So I have a magnifier. I have Chrome. I have Outlook. So I have all these different applications. It can record any of those. The reason I don't always use game capture, though, is sometimes, especially older games, it might get a bit buggy. So I might be playing something like, I'm going through Deus Ex with a mod, and if I alt-tab out, OBS stops recording it. So for that reason, I don't use game capture. Although you're typically going to get the best performance in capture. Now, in terms of hardware, you're going to need a strong CPU to do any of the streaming and recording. Your CPU is what's doing all of these cycles the entire time. So I use GTX 970 or hardware for my graphics card. And I also use a Intel Core i5, like the highest end Core i5. I got it because I wanted to do for strong gaming, but I realized later on I started doing a lot of video editing. I should have done the i7. It has multi-threading, not going to get into what that is, but essentially it allows me to perform more tasks at once if that application can take advantage of things like video encoding. It does. So you can offset some of this to allow your GPU, your stronger graphics card, to do some of that number crunching, but it's kind of hit or miss. So even if I go over to like settings, let's scoot this thing over. There we go. If I go over to settings, left-hand side here, I have a number of things. I have stream. So what happens is I can make changes to my streaming service. Right now, I'm streaming to Twitch. I could use Stream, YouTube, again, your own media server. I have a video on that, on how to do it on my website, davevoiles.com. It's going to ask you for your stream key. Now, your stream key is given to you by Twitch. So if you go to your Twitch account, you can find your stream key or just Google it. There are plenty of ways. And what this does is now when I hit stream, sorry, wrong side. I go here on the right-hand side to start streaming or start recording. It'll just connect to Twitch real quick and start shooting my stuff on there. Pretty nifty. So making this a little bigger, what I can do is, again, I've got a whole bunch of other settings here. I have output, so I'm saying, hey, here's the different kinds of encoders I want to use. X.264. There's a whole bunch of options. There's an NVIDIA encoder, which will allow this to use my GPU instead of my CPU. Tinker with them, find out what works best. You may have to rescale the output. Like, I can't make any of these changes on the fly right here because I'm recording all of this, but I could hit rescale and I could scale this down to something like 1080p, which is probably better. Most people don't have monitors that display at this native resolution that I have. Bitrate, this one is very important. Okay, so bitrate is the quality of the footage that you are recording. Now, Twitch, I'm almost positive, Twitch only allows for 2,500 megabytes, megabytes upload. So that means I can record at this quality, 4,500, so it's 4.5 megabytes, but you're not getting that on your end. If you're a Twitch partner, you know, person with thousands and thousands of viewers, you can get 3,500. So right now I have it high so that I have high quality recording and I end up throwing all of this on YouTube. But really Twitch gets no more than 2,500. So if you're seeing a lot of lag or a lot of skipping on your Twitch stream, I would drop this number down. I go back and forth. It depends on what I'm doing here. I can do the same thing for recording, right? I could say use these different encoders. Right now I'm using an NVIDIA encoder. NVIDIA's H.264. I have, again, and more videos on my site, davevoiles.com, on what these different encoders are, how they work, what a codec is. I worked at Comcast before I came to Microsoft. I was dealing all with video players and video encoders. So I'm not going to go into a lot of these details. There are very good videos that illustrate this, too. Audio, keep it on stereo. You can do push to mute or push to talk. I kind of leave it open the whole time, but sometimes you'll notice some static. So you may want to have push to talk, and that means I can hit a button, a control. I can map this to a control button or whatever else to allow people to hear what I'm doing. Video, I already got that. Hotkeys, again, you can set a number of buttons there. So you get the idea of what's going on. I'm not going to go too much further with Twitch. So now we see I can have my webcam. I can have my video or my game being displayed in real time. So right here, I can just right-click and change this. So yeah, so I use higher quality video for VODs. Yeah, video on demand. So exactly, if my intention is to record something for a tutorial, I will make much, much, much higher quality video. I might make it like 13 megabytes a second. And I do that so that it's really, really pristine quality. But again, this is just an overlay, and it's from a company or a site called Strexm, Strexm.tv, and I'll show you what that is in just a minute. So, making progress. We have OBS, tons of videos on how that works. There's other things like XSplit that you can use as well. I've dived into that for a little bit, but I haven't really found a good reason to leave OBS at this point. Also, XSplit, I believe you have to pay a monthly fee for it. It's about $10 a month. Not saying it's bad, I'm just saying I don't have a compelling reason to leave. So now for the overlays. So this overlay right here, I can do this myself. I can make it in Photoshop, Paint.net, whatever it is that I'm looking for. Actually getting kind of dark in here, so I'm going to put a little light on. That's another trick for streaming. Watch, I have a little USB light that I can paint to the wall, point to the wall, and it'll come back and make me a little brighter. So I could do all these in something like Photoshop, but I found a service called Strexm, S-T-R-E-X-M, that works really, really well. So essentially, it's a web-based overlay for Twitch. And also, it'll tie into other services for you, like the ability to tip, the ability to have alerts, things like that. So I'll go to Connect. I haven't logged in a while, so it's probably missing me. So there you go. Connect. And a lot of stuff going on here. I wouldn't even worry about it. In this case, I can look at this in-game overlay that I've already selected. I use a Liberty. I can go over here to Edit. Okay, this is not what I... Bugging me out. All right, one more time. Yeah, but it's what generates that overlay for me. I can make changes to it at any point. Depends on what I'm doing. Like, I just did a let's play of a full video game, and I don't need all that crazy Twitch overlay stuff, right? I had, like, my webcam in the corner, my mic, and that's about it. But if I'm doing something like Heroes of the Storm, maybe Overwatch, and I'm talking to people back and forth, I might want to have my chat on the side and all these. Yeah, so this, of course, is being kind of... But typically, I would just click on this, and it would allow me to make changes to this thing. I don't know. It's being... So, oh, here we go. So a whole bunch of overlays. You can buy some of them, right? I just use the free ones and kind of tinker around with it. This team is actually fantastic. I just posted something on Reddit on Stream. Go to like a subreddit called Stream or Let's Play. I went there and just said, hey, has anyone else been checking this out? And these guys like jumped on it right away. They're answering all my questions. Service. But again, it allows you to tie into things like Twitch tips. And so now you've recorded your video. You started a stream video, right? It's YouTube. So for YouTube, create a YouTube account, go over here, and upload is always going to appear in the top right corner, regardless of just about any page that you're on. So I can upload. That's going to ask me to upload some videos. I don't have any new videos to upload now, but I could drop anything in there, and it'll say, hey, some details. So typically what I'll do is I will come up with a very... nifty little name. In this case, I played through this full motion video contradiction in the last week. So I'll create a playlist just for that. Add all these videos to it. Better, you see I have a little thumbnail for each of these so that this will appear on the right-hand side when you're watching similar videos. And this first one, like, not the best quality. It's kind of dark when I'm playing. I play late at night. But you see on the right-hand side here, so you have a good idea of what the title is. I can hover over thumbnails. Also tell me, oh, okay, this is part one and 5 and 6 p.m. Name of the title. Now it's kind of engaging and encouraging to click through what's happening. Better, all these are. And what I also like is now, see here's how it appears naturally. If you're not looking at the playlist and just right-hand side here, here are everyone else's videos. Here is... so like I played Contradiction, some other people had played, you know, and, they do part one, part two, part three, they kind of have the Contradiction, some text and maybe their own. So it's always like compelling and engrossing things to keep sucking you in. So they're very important reasons to create those. And they're very simple to make these plays. I use PowerPoint. And in PowerPoint, I'll just grab an image of the game or whatever, drop it into PowerPoint, and I'll quickly add some text, very large font, the 120, and just draw it on the screen that way. I make a template for each game, so every time I have a new episode, I only have to change. Finally, the description. I would just have a brief overview of what this is, as well as list my website, my Twitter. You have to use HTTP on YouTube. If you don't write HTTP, www.whatever, it will not be a link. So that is uploading YouTube. You also want to have good descriptors. Yeah, essentially this. YouTube, we have guest covered Okay, so you recorded your video. If it's like for this contradiction stuff, like it was very short, sweet, I stopped it every time I finished an episode. So I just hit stop and I was ready to go and ready to upload. Very, very simple. Some other videos might require a little more work, a little more editing. In that case, video editing software comes. Something like Camtasia is what I use right now. I got it from work. It is completely hit or miss. I can't really recommend it, largely because bucks isn't an issue. The issue is that it crashes pretty consistently. I have an absolute beast of a rig, but my issues with Camtasia are that it's only 32-bit, which means it uses no more than gigabytes of RAM. It doesn't sound like a lot, but I have 32 gigs in this machine, and I'll have massive, massive video files to be editing in here. Be 15, 20 minutes of video. Like, this thing just starts to chug. The benefit, though, is it's super, super easy. So I have a video opened up right here. This was a tutorial that I did today. So you can see on the bottom here, I can kind of scrub through the video. And what I did was add basically a whole bunch of different sources. That means I've added some video clips, very short video clips of two different screens that I had recorded. And what happens, I can overlay them at any point. I also have audio. So I capture my audio separately from different tools. I use each four recorder that I can carry around everywhere in my pocket. I have a little lapel microphone. And this way I can capture really high quality. Like $200 worth every penny. And then what I can do is down and edit this. I can just drag and drop all of this right into there. I can see the WAV file and edit. I'll have another video on editing in the future. This, if I start hitting play, you can see how this all comes together.
Okay, so the first thing I want to discuss is defining class methods. The top example that I have here is going to be slower and inefficient.
Right, so I have a text overlay that pops right here. Drag and drop text in. Better, I have things like in animations. Watch this for a couple seconds, get an idea of how this works. And again, one of the benefits of Camtasia is it's really, really fast and easy. I'll show you some other software.
.foo equals function. Inside of
I can zoom in, I can highlight spots, I can slow things down.
So the faster way is you just create baz.bar and make it a function. And what we're going to do is we're going to
segue between screen
on our prototype for baz.bar.
So it gives like a really professional look and feel about a lot of the work. So Camtasia, very, very easy to use. When I'm done, I hit produce and share. And now I can create a 1080p video, and it's good to go. Problem again is that this damn thing crashes from time to time for no apparent reason. So I save everything like a man. In the case that you want to go a little more expensive, and I have Adobe Premiere Pro, which is like Adobe's high-end video editing software. It has a huge barrier to learn how to do, to use. So I mean, it has all kinds of effects and overlays and awesome things I can add to it. Their video editor down here, a little more cumbersome and difficult. But once you get good with it and make your video look so much better, this is just a very simple video I want to show you. If I click on one of my videos here, like Dave's part one, all the video content that I have, I can just drag. Very easy. And hit play.
Excuse us.
Yes. Just curious.
There you go. You have gameplay from a game. I can, again, hit file, export, and I can export this video. I think for stuff now, you basically have to pay like a monthly fee, or maybe you can buy it outright. I pay a monthly fee. It's worth every penny, especially if you do a lot of video editing. It's like maybe $30 per piece of software. Buy like their whole package. It's like per month, but again, very, very, very useful. So let's get out of this. If you do audio editing, by the way, I cannot recommend this software enough. It's called Audacity, free open source audio editing tool. I've been using this for like 8 years, podcasts, like 200 podcasts recorded. Audacity works on Mac, works on PC. I go and I use it all the time. So makes it super, super easy. So what I'd often suggest, again, is use a nice microphone, record your audio separately. Webcam's audio is going to suck. Headset audio, kind of hit or miss. For like, if I'm playing on Twitch, this is fine. But if I'm recording like audio overlays, like audio on top of some of the video that I'm doing, I'll record audio separately using a high quality mic, like a studio microphone. I'll show you. Audacity. Okay, so some other audio editing software, Sony Movie Studio. I've used this for a little bit. Like I use their demo. This actually works really well too. Similar to Camtasia, you can just drag and drop stuff in. But $130. Again, sounds expensive, but I mean, for how much you can get out of this, it's pretty awesome. Another limitation of Camtasia is you can only export 30 frames a second. Doesn't sound bad, but again, when I am, we'll call it a purist. If it's not 60 frames a second, I'm not touching it, especially for games. I like my webcam sucks. I'll get into that in a minute. But games, got to be 60 frames a second. So I would export with Camtasia if it's not a game. If it's like a tutorial I'm doing, problem. But for games, I use After Effects or Premiere. Sony Movie Studio, I used it. I liked it. So I'd recommend that. Also, there was CyberLink. Here we go. So CyberLink PowerDirector, this is like $60. This is really, really good too. If you're going to look at anything, you want somewhere to start. I would say CyberLink PowerDirector. Again, it's like, this is super cheap today. Dude, this is like $110 when I looked. Yes, at $56, this is an absolute steal. Great way to get started too. Cool. Again, export 60 frames a second. You've got to look at these things when you're creating video. I see a lot of like the news on YouTube. Oh no, 30 frames. I can't tell the difference. There's a huge difference. Okay, got that. Now, you want to capture some of this. We can use OBS. That's fine. Some people also use these other display cards. Like you might have heard of an Elgato card. That's what this is. So what this does is it allows me to intercept any of the video coming out of an HDMI port. So picture it this way. I can have my GPU out of my GPU in the back of my computer. I have HDMI, which would typically go straight to my monitor. Instead, I have it go from my GPU into this. This grabs that footage, and then I have HDMI out going to my monitor. So now this is just sitting in the middle, grabbing all the footage. And finally, it also has USB. USB back to my computer. What that does is that USB spits out audio and video so I can record. So, for like streaming and recording like your computer based games, it has no value because it just chews up your CPU to begin with. I got really crappy performance with it. So oddly enough, it's like an external CPU, but if you're recording computer games, doing all the heavy lifting, so it's useful. But for consoles, and I do a lot of like Sega CD, Sega Genesis, PlayStation stuff, if I'm going to record that, you need this because this will intercept the video, the audio, even chat from console, and you can record that content. So what I will tell you is these things, they're still garbage. So you can see, like, you purchased this item on January 10th. I brought it right back. So you can record 1080p and 60 frames a second, but the issue is software still sucks. It crashes constantly. The audio, like your mic and the game audio, just keep not aligning correctly. So it's kind of stupid. It allows you to record or stream directly to a service like Twitch from their built-in software. But it's a bit of a project, not going to lie. So I got rid of that. I tried this other thing, an AverMedia. And again, you can see you purchased this item 6 days later. So I tried all of these things to see what works, what doesn't. So I did all the dirty work for you. This thing is what I stick with now. Not that it's better. I mean, the software completely sucks on this thing too. There's like no support and no support forums for either of those things. Both companies are pretty bad. I mean, you'll see people do like video reviews, and that's because they're like largely getting paid by the company, getting these things for free. Like, I buy this with my own money. I try everything out. I have a technical background. I'll tell you if something's awesome or it's not. And both these things are pretty bad, but your options are limited. So if you're going to capture from a console, this is basically what you need. About $160, still not very good. But my audio and video don't get out of sync, so I stick with this. Okay, so now webcam. Right now, I'm using this webcam, the Creative Live Chat HD. I got it for like $30 on Amazon. I'm not crazy about it. And I recently went looking for a new camera, and I found the one I'm going to get today. So mine is 720 and 30 frames a second. It's like all kinds of lag and delay. I don't like it. This new one, the Logitech C90, has 1080p, 60 frames a second. A little bit more, $70. But if you do a lot of streaming, a lot of video chat, it's worth every penny. I figured look at a video review, difference in this alone. There is value in getting something like this.
The one on the right side is Creative Live CamChat HD, and on the left side is Logitech C920. And you can tell a difference instantly. The colors, the quality, the space, the motion, it's just so much better in the C920. And
The one on the right, the orange looking one, is the one I have now. The one in the yellow or the white is the one I just ordered. Huge difference. And you can see that mine has a bit of a delay. Drives me nuts. But it's important, especially if you can do a lot of streaming. And I work from home, so I'm always using the webcam all day, every day. And it's worth it to invest in decent stuff. So again, Amazon's Logitech HD Pro C90. Logitech C90. C920. $70. But you see, they also have a bunch of recommended items here, too. The first of which is like a pop filter. So I'm not using one right now, but when I have like my professional looking podcast microphone, it like sits on a stand. I have a pop filter. What it does is it grabs all those that come out of your mouth when you have P's and S's. So very, very helpful. Again, they're like $6 or $7, worth every penny. A lot of people, I'm getting these like microphones, like they have a Yeti or Icicle. So you can use something like this. These are great. They're not great for, they're okay for using as you're playing, but for getting really, really good quality audio afterwards to do voiceovers and narration of your videos, something like this is essential. I have a professional studio mic, and it has an output XLR, and that's what you'll use to plug in some preamps. A lot of these just spit out to USB. So what my mic does is has XLR, and I have a XLR to USB adapter, so I can plug it into any device. Again, it's about $100. I mean, but you can see 3,700 customer reviews, 4.5 stars seem to like. Huge difference. And right away, it'll just make you that much more. Okay, videos. So you want to look professional, have a nice little overlay and an intro. Well, here's how you do it. I'm terrible with After Effects. I can do a little bit with it, but it's just much easier to go to a place like Video Hive and find your own. So go up to Video Hive, type in After Effects, and I'm After Effects. And here we go. There's all these crazy intros that you can buy. So you can see I kind of scrub through them. All these different intros. Show you one that I bought recently. So here's a video I did that tutorial you saw. And I bought this intro.
Hello, my name is David Voiles, and I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft. And this week on the Web Dev Show, I'm going to discuss with you some ways that we can get some very, very nifty.
So, I should say that the first white intro you saw, our team bought, and we ended up using for all of our videos. This little overlay right here, we see the Dave Voiles on my Twitter. I did that in After Effects myself. Those small things like go a long way towards professionalism. So what I did for After Effects, I don't use it all the time, so I can just kind of go on a month-by-month basis and pay one time. Use it for a month, create some cool effects, or or buy some effects from Video Hive, use After Effects, make the changes that I need, and then spit it out. Again, like, make some really, really professional looking. And they're great for like the ends of videos too. Show you here.
So that I have the opportunity to create. I don't need to use them anymore. Boom, I put them back in. So they might come out. Go to might come out. And if at any point I don't want to need a memory here, nature. So I use this very, very.
Like here is the same thing, the ending video. So good for the opening, good for the closing, and just makes your videos altogether look much, much better. So done with that. Video Hive. So talk about microphones. Again, either get like a lapel mic. I even want a good headset. Not Amazon headsets. What do I have here? HyperX. Amazon HyperX. Yeah, here we go. HyperX Cloud headset. I actually just bought this one right the other day. I highly recommend this. Large reason is because you don't want to be recording your speakers as you're recording your audio, because everyone's getting that audio twice. They'd be getting it from microphone on a delay, but also from your live gameplay feed. So I got these super, super comfortable. They have different kinds of pads for them too, two of which come with it. I absolutely love doing this. So I would encourage using something like this if you're going to play. It's kind of stops a lot of the sound from around you. So we have webcam, we have microphone covered, we have headset, covered Strexum, so you have overlays, OBS, how to upload to YouTube. So we're just about there. So that's about it. Doyle, do you have any questions for me so far? Wait a minute, because we have a little bit of delay here. Oh, finally, when I go into Twitch, like I'll say, hey, I'm going to go stream my stuff. So as I go to stream my stuff, I'll come in here, and I'll change the title every time. I'll say, edit. I should have said, like, creative. Here's the title of the broadcast is, like, showing people how to use Twitch. And then down here in playing, I can change the title. I might say League of Legends. All these games pop up. That's important because it allows people to search and find people who are playing that game at that moment. But if I'm just doing like tutorials, I can type in creative. And now Twitch knows, hey, anyone who's looking for creative things that are going, put it up there. Even better, on the bottom here on Twitch, you can see I can edit my panels. This button. I can change all these panels. These you can get for free. You can just type in like free Twitch panels. So there we go. Type of free Twitch panels. You can get a whole bunch of them. And these are nothing more than simple images. So I can hit edit. I can add the image, add a little bit of information about it. And you can make it more detailed using a language called markup. Not even a language. A markup language is actually what it's called. And that's how I do things like, you know, this little pound, make it bold or not bold, headlines, things like that. I also have an image to donate with PayPal. So I've gone to streamtip.com, set up an account. And what this does is allows people to donate to me when they do go to PayPal. So click on this. Streamtip pops up and it says, thank you. Gestures like this will encourage me to keep making these kinds of videos and even more going after some of these rare classic games that I play. So people can, you know, donate whatever they want, leave a username, a note, and give money that way. So it's just something nice to have. Do I need the money? No. But the idea is if people perhaps want me to play something, like I bought Revenge of the Ninja, like a rare Sega CD game a couple weeks ago. It's like $35 and I played through it in 20 minutes. So like I foot the bill for it, but if that's the kind of thing people see me play and cover and go into, then all means, perfect. I have a little thing about my setup, what I'm using. I also post to my YouTube. So most of the videos I make here, I'll also post on YouTube. Even better, I can go up here to, my video channel on the left-hand side, go to Video Manager tab, and I'll ask your question, answer it in a minute. So in Video Manager, I can see all the videos that I've created, and I think it keeps them for like 30 days or so. And what I can do is I can not download them, but I can delete, edit, or even hit export. And now what this allowed me to do is export this to YouTube. So now I can instantly send my videos from here to YouTube. The problem is you can't edit them between the two. So that's why I will record what I'm doing as well as stream. So your question is, so it searches by playing the category, not by description. Correct. So if I go to Twitch TV, so if I go to Twitch, now, see, I can go like featured games, right? You know, play a lot of Heroes. Yeah, so I'm going to click on Heroes. There's 13,000 people watching right now. And here, then I can do live channels. So here's all the people playing right now. So if I was going to be playing Heroes, I would pop up in here somewhere, and you can see like how many people have two viewers, one viewer, one viewer, one viewer. So I can click on them, and that's how it finds them. So that first description that I have was like, ah, it's Hero League Duo Queue with Tricky Zerg, right? So if I'm playing with you, I might say Hero League rank 36 with Huzz, right? Give a little description, but the game itself is what allows me to appear here. Even better, people can follow by clicking on, doesn't appear for me because I'm here, but there's a really cool extension, and it's called Alerts Chrome Extension. Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Actually, I have it up here. I should just look. Twitch Now. I should put this on my page, but Twitch Now is awesome. I have it running in Chrome all the time, and what it allows people to do is, right, as soon as someone who I follow goes live, and I could set this on a channel-by-channel basis, and I'll get a little alert in the top right corner. It says, you know, Dave Voiles has gone live with Heroes of the Storm. That's why I never miss when someone's going live. Twitch Now, Chrome extension. Very, very useful. So I think that's covered about all of it. I'll post this to YouTube shortly after. If there's any other questions, I'll end the video right now to stop recording.